إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، نواصل القراءة من الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد الدكتور صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. I welcome all of you once again. We continue reading from the concise commentary on the book of Tawheed by our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Dr. Salih bin Fawzan Al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين. We're still in chapter 38, At-Tahakum ila Taghut, seeking judgment from the Taghut, which is forbidden. قال عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. قال النووي حديث صحيح رويناه في كتاب الحجة بإسناد صحيح، لكن قال الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله هذا الحديث في إسناده مقال، لكن معناه صحيح قطعا وإن لم يصح إسناده، وله شواهد من القرآن كقوله تعالى فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. One of the proofs is this hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, who narrated that the Messenger of Allah said, none of you will have the complete faith until his own desire follows what I am sent with. Even though this hadith al-Imam al-Nawawi said about it that is sahih, this is a sahih hadith related with this hadith sahih that he has related with a chain of narrators that are sound, authentic chain of transmitters in the book entitled Al-Hujjah. However, our noble Shaykh Hafidahullah, Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzani says, though the chain of the transmission of this hadith lacks the criteria of authenticity, the meaning of the hadith is definitely true. But its meaning is true. Hadith is not sound as related to its chain of narrations, but the meaning of it is true. Moreover, there are proofs derived from the Quran in support of this hadith, such as the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse 65, but know by your Lord they will not truly believe until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, judge concerning that over which they dispute among themselves, and then find within themselves no discomfort from what you have judged, and submit in full willing submission. النووي يقول الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله هو محي الدين أبو زكريا. النووي, he is محي الدين أبو زكريا يحيى بن شرف النووي نسبة إلى نوى قرية بالشام. It's called النووي because of this village where he was born. The ulama, they mentioned it is called Nawa. Nawa. So sometimes you hear al-Yemeni, because Yemen, al-Amriki, because this person is from America, for example. So he is from this village in Asham. Asham is an area what is now Syria and Jordan and Palestine, that's the area, It's a place called Nawa. وهو إمام مشهور. He is a famous and renowned Imam. صاحب تصانيف مفيدة. He has left a great treasure in different fields for the Muslims, رحمه الله. He died in the year 676 of the Hijra, رحمه الله تعالى. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث, the general meaning of this hadith, يقول الشيخ الوالد الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله, أن الإنسان لا يكون مؤمنا الإيمان الكامل الواجب حتى تكون محبته تابعة لما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأوامر والنواهي, أن يتبع الأوامر قدر الاستطاعة ويجتنب النواهي وغيرها, فيحب ما أمر به ويكره ما نهى عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم. That in this is that a person is not considered a true believer, and that a person does not fulfill the iman that is obligatory upon us to achieve, unless and until what that person loves, is according to what the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought from Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. So he loves the commands. He loves what it's in the Quran, in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, especially the Sunnah. So this is about following the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That a believer, a true believer, he loves what the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanded with. And he hates and stay away from what the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade and command us to stay away from. So a person, one of the signs of true belief is that a person loves what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commands and he hates what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade us and command us to stay away from. مناسبة الحديث للباب نفي الإيمان عمن لم يطمئن إلى شرع الله ويحبه ويكره ما خالفه من القوانين والنظم الوضعية. The relevance of this hadith to the chapter, in another way, why Imam al-Nawawi, why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى brought this hadith as one of the proofs in this chapter, that whoever does not love the divine laws, what Allah has legislated, nor feel satisfied with them, or love the positive laws, is deemed bereaved of faith. That this person has no faith, وَلْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, the one who is not comfortable with what Allah has legislated, does not love what Allah has legislated, and does not hate and dislike everything that opposes what Allah has legislated from the man-made laws and the like. ما يستفاد من الحديث. The last point in the explanation of this hadith, what are the benefits and the lessons drawn from this hadith? أولا يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله وجوب محبة كل ما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. وجوب محبة كل ما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا سيما من التشريع والعمل به. It is obligatory to love everything that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم came with. Everything that is revealed to him صلى الله عليه وسلم, we love it. And to act upon it. It is an obligation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislates for for us only that which is beneficial for us and that which is good for us. So it's very important we learn in here so that we can apply. Because when you love something, it becomes easy for you to act upon it and to do it. But if you don't love something, you'll be pushed to do it. You'll be pushed to do it and it become a burden on you and it's difficult. But if you learn that to love what the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, because keep in mind Allah only legislates for us that which is beneficial for us. So loving that makes it easy for us to comply with it and to do it. It doesn't become a burden. Like certain people we think, like acting upon certain commands, it's difficult for them. Staying away from haram, they have to struggle and fight. We're human. Everyone has their own shortcomings. But that's what makes a difference, knowledge. You sit with the ulama and you learn. Now you think about it and you're like, subhanAllah, why I'm struggling with the prayer? Why I'm struggling to lower my gaze? Why I'm struggling to stay away from this place or the other? Why I'm struggling in this area or the other? It's all because of this. The more you love what Allah has legislated, the more you want to do it. And I give you an example. People love to go places. As soon as somebody says, are we going there? They're like, subhanAllah, they're happy. It's like, I'm coming. Can I go too? Doesn't matter what it is. Even if it's far. Even if that person has to make arrangements. But he's going to go. He's going to make some arrangements and make some sacrifices because he loves to go to that place. Likewise, we love what Allah has legislated for us. We love the prayer, we love fasting, we love the dua, we love the dhikr, we love the recitation of the Quran, we love sadaqah, we love good manners and be kind to our parents, to our wives and children, and love doing good for others and having respect for others and the like. And that's what's going to make it easy for us to comply with these things. ثانيا وجوب بغض كل ما خالف شريعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وابتعد عنه. It is an obligation as well to hate and stay away from everything that opposes the legislation that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم came with. You hate it. Anything that opposes what the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم came with, we hate it. You hate that. You don't fear Allah. Keep in mind, this is very important. You hate sins. The greatest of all is shirk. You hate shirk. Don't feel comfortable with shirk. Shirk around you and it's like nothing. No, this is the most hated thing for the believer is shirk. When you look by the anything that reminds you of shirk, you hate it. Imam is from Iman. And you stay away from places of shirk. That's why now this hadith, amongst many others, now we learn that to stay away from the shirk and the mushrikeen. Imam, to stay away from shirk and from the mushrikeen. And that's why the hijrah is legislated. So in the hijrah, for those who are able to do so, is legislated so that you can stay away from shirk and from the mushrikeen. ثالثا انتفاء الإيمان عن من يميل بقلبه إلى مخالفة ما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ولو عمل به ظاهرا. That, subhanAllah, this point here is very serious. But the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he says that a person who with his heart inclines to oppose what the Messenger of Allah came with, even though he may act upon it, even if a person is acting upon the Sunnah, but in his heart subhanAllah, his heart is inclined in the other direction, in opposition toward the Messenger of Allah. This person is bereaved of faith, waliyadu billah. Even if apparently this person acts in compliance with what the Messenger of Allah came with. So it's very important for us, Ikhwan, to pay attention to these things and these guidelines from this noble Shaykh, our noble Shaykh, Dr. Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidahullah Ta'ala, so that we can safeguard and protect our Iman. It's not just about doing actions, but what is the state of the heart, state of Iman. It's easy, you can, even a mushrik, if some Muslim who don't know, just tell him, hey, we're praying Asr, you wanna come? What is this Asr? Just come, you just check it out. No, kafir, come here and stand up and pray, who will know? We don't know, it's not like the man come, he's praying with the Muslims and he leave. But he ain't gonna get nothing. Of course, that's as an example. We don't bring kuffar to pray amongst us. No, we invite them to Islam. Alhamdulillah, if they are, Allah guide them, the guidance of success, hidayah to tawfiq, even Allah, it's only from Allah, then inshallah they learn how to pray and the like. So it's very important for us not just to act without even having the meanings, knowing that we have to seek knowledge which help us to comply, not only to comply but with love, mahabbah. We don't just act, do ibadah just like robots. Ah, I gotta pray again, I gotta go there. When Ramadan comes, we gotta fast again. See, that's what makes a difference. Those who, when they don't even know about Ramadan until a few days before, and then like, they're gonna fast again. And those who 6 months waiting for Ramadan, longing for it, can wait until Ramadan, asking Allah to make them from those who witness Ramadan. What makes a difference? See, that's what it is. Big difference. It's like someone who going to job to work only because that's a paycheck for him. Paycheck. He goes to the, I'm going to work again. I'll see you guys later. Yeah, I really want to be with you, but I gotta go to work. Because it's a paycheck. Another person, no. He's doing that job, he's putting his heart. He's like, no. This is, I'm helping people. I'm doing certain things that help the Muslims and make things easy for others. Like a bus driver, for example. Somebody who drives the bus, there is one person, he just go because it's a paid job. He get paid. Another person, yeah, he's getting paid, but he's getting like, no, I gotta go early because I take people to work, other people go to hospitals, other people go to other places. So, mashallah, they depend on me after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I gotta go. I can't just come with fake excuses. And if I don't go, then those people, mashallah, they have to wait for the next bus. You see how it is? Likewise, we don't just come to pray, I gotta go pray. No, you love to pray because this is good for you. Right now. وقال الشعبي كان بين رجل من المنافقين ورجل من اليهود خصومة فقال اليهودي نتحاكم إلى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عرف أنه لا يأخذ الرشوة وقال المنافق نتحاكم إلى اليهود لعلمه أنهم يأخذون الرشوة فاتفق على أن يأتي كاهنا في جهينة فيتحاكم إليه فنزلت الآية ألم ترى إلى الذين يزعمون الآية هذه الآية كانت هي أول آية في هذا الباب سورة النساء. دين الشيخ الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى he brought another proof that الشعبي and he is a great imam. The sheikh is going to give a brief biography of it, of him. This is the Imam al-Shaabi from al-Tabi'een. He said, there was a dispute between a man from the hypocrites and a man from the Jews. There is a man and a hypocrite in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, where the hypocrites, they display iman, but in their hearts they have kufr wal-iyadu billah. They do actions of iman, they say la ilaha illallah with their tongues, and they pray sometimes with the Muslims and all that, but in their hearts they have nothing but kufr wal-iyadu billah. So here is one of them. One, there was a dispute between a man from the hypocrites and a man from the Jews, al-Yahud. And so the Jew said to the hypocrite, to settle this dispute, he said to the hypocrite, the one who say la ilaha illallah and pray with the Muslims, he said to him, let us seek judgment from Muhammad, Allah, the Jew. The Jew said to the one who apparently is Muslim, act upon, you know, Islam, but in his heart is hypocrisy, wa'iyadu billah, cover. He said to him, let's seek judgment from Muhammad. He says, because he knew that you knew well that Muhammad would never accept bribes. Okay? However, the hypocrite said, no, let us seek judgment from the Jews, wa'iyadu billah. For he knew that they would accept bribes. So they both agreed to refer their case to the diviner of Juhayna, Kahin, a soothsayer and the like. Juhayna is an area, a name of well-known qabila at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat, ayah 16, Surah An-Nisa, have you not seen those who claim to have believed in what was revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what was revealed before you? They wish to refer legislation to a ta'ud, while they were commanded to reject it, and Satan wishes to lead them far astray. الشعبي الإمام الشعبي he is عامر ابن شراحيل الشعبي وقيل عامر بن عبد الله بن شراحيل الشعبي الحميري أبو عامر الكوفي he was from Kufa, was an area in Iraq. ثقة حافظ فقيه من التابعين, one of the great scholars of Islam, إمام الشعبي رحمه الله. قيل مات, they said that he died in the year 103 of the Hijra. And it is said other than that. Al-Munafiq هو الذي يظهر الإسلام ويبطن الكفر. The hypocrite is whoever apparently embraces Islam but conceals disbelief deep in his heart. They show some of the actions of Islam amongst the Muslims, but in reality they conceal kufr and disbelief in their hearts. الجهينة قبيلة عربية مشهورة. المعنى الإجمالي للأثر, يروي الإمام الشعبي رحمه الله أن هذه الآية الكريمة نزلت بسبب ما حصل من رجل يدعي الإيمان ويريد أن يتحاكم إلى غير الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم تهربا من الحكم العادل, مما حمله على التحاكم إلى الطاغوت من غير مبالاة بما يترتب على ذلك من مناقضة للإيمان, مما يدل على كذبه في ادعائه الإيمان, فمن عمل مثل عمله فهو مثله في هذا الحكم, أسأل الله السلام والعافية. The general meaning of this, that al-Imam al-Shaabi rahimahullah narrates that the above mentioned verse in Surah An-Nisa, أَلَمْ تَرَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ الْآيَةِ, it was revealed when a man who pretended to be a believer, he pretended to be a believer, preferred to get judgment on his issue from someone other than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeking to avoid a just ruling, wal-iyadu billah. seeking to avoid a just ruling. That hypocrite referred his issue to a ta'ut and did not mind violating his faith. As such, this man proved to be insincere in professing his faith. Which point out to this man is a liar, billah, in their claims. They claim to believe in the Prophet ﷺ, to believe in Allah, but that's futile because their actions oppose that which they claim. And then the Shaykh mentioned this. He says the same ruling applies to whoever refers any matter of dispute to anyone other than Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a severe thing. Sometimes you find two people, they have a dispute, whether two partners in a business, whether a landlord and a tenant, whether a mechanic and a person who took his car to be fixed, or whether a brother who hired another one to do any job, whether electrical or a painting job, or a husband and wife, who, subhanAllah, sometimes find Muslims, they have disputes, and we it's normal for a human being to have disputes and disagreement, because we're human. But now you find, it's bad when you find someone say, please take it to the court, kuffar court, instead to try to solve that problem in according to what Allah has legislated. As Muslims, we turn our affairs to the deen of Allah. In a Muslim land, if they judge by the book of Allah and the Sunnah, you go to the judge, to court, if you couldn't get your right. Likewise, the ulama, and from them our noble Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabir, hamidullah, also to understand this point clearly, yes, it is permissible for a Muslim to go to the court of the kuffar if the other Muslim does not want to comply with what Allah has legislated. But first you have to take your affairs and your dispute to the deen of Allah. If you can do it yourself, alhamdulillah. If not, you go to a person who can help you. Someone who's qualified. You say, look, akhi, we have this dispute. We want an answer from one of the mashayikh. Alhamdulillah, what Allah, who's right and who's wrong from us? And you be happy, like, see, this is the heart, the condition of the heart. This is where this our dispute, we're looking for an answer. But you are willing to accept anything Allah ruled and legislated for you. Some people, yes, always take it akhi to the shaykh. And then when a fatwa or the answer come not in their favor, they're like, oh, it gotta be another way. What are you talking about? What do you mean, gotta be another way? SubhanAllah, gotta be another way. It's different to say, akhi, can the shaykh give us more explanation because I can't see it like that, I need it to be break down. No, it's okay. Can the shaykh, hafidhahullah, explain this matter more for me because I can't understand it at this point? But for someone to reject that, a fatwa that is based on ayats and ahadith, and say, gotta be another way, let's take it to the judge, Williams and so, who is not a Muslim, that is a big mistake. But keep in mind, like I told you, if a person has a conflict, for example, over a car, over a house, or anything, custody, or whatever the case, a woman is being oppressed by a man is oppressed by his wife, whatever the case, and then one of them don't want to settle the matter as we are commanded, according to what Allah has legislated, and after all tries, they try their best and this, but they are harmed. Yes, the ulama, they said, it's permissible for that person at that moment to take their affairs to the courts of the non-Muslims. And at that time, they have to take only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, not just accept everything that kafir Because sometimes that kafir, oh no, they just judge by their law. Now you take from it what complies with what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مناسبة الأثر للباب أن التحكم إلى غير شرع الله يناقض الإيمان بالله وكتبه. That taking and referring disputes to be judged to other than what Allah has legislated, this go against Iman. Go against Iman of Allah and His book. So on His books, subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الأثر؟ أولا وجوب التحكم إلى شريعة الله. One of the lessons drawn from this lesson or this author, it is an obligation to willingly act in compliance with all that is revealed. There's an obligation to turn our disputes and all our matters to that which the Prophet ﷺ received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثانيا أن التحاكم إلى غير شريعة الله ينافي الإيمان. Likewise, taking matters of, especially matter of disputes, to be judged by other than what Allah has legislated, that opposes Iman, alayhi billah. A believer doesn't do these things. A believer, he takes his matters, all of them, every single matter, to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's happy, willing to accept the judgments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثالثا في هذا الأثر كشف لحقيقة المنافقين وأنهم شر من اليهود. Also on this other, it teaches us the reality and the true nature of the hypocrites, and they are worse than the Jews. والعياذ بالله. They are worse than the Jews. رابعا تحريم أخذ الرشوة وأن أخذ الرشوة من أخلاق اليهود وقد لعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معطيها وأخذها. It is strictly forbidden to deal with bribery and bribes. And a bribe, by the way, is when a person wants to get something that is not his, and the only he knows is not his, but how he gets it, he go to the judge, for example, give him some money. They do that. They go on the side before the court day, for whatever reason he go and give a bribery, whatever money, whatever a gift, nice gift, whatever the case. Or sometimes he's like, look man, I work in here, or his brother work in another place, and you see, he can help you out if you help us out, and all of that. This is haram in Islam. Person cannot bribe the judge or anybody to get a position or to get something that is not his. So rishwa is haram. If something you want to get it and they told you it's not for you, man, you're not qualified, that's it. You don't go and give some money. Some people say, yeah, man, give him $100, man, you get it. No. This is haram in Islam. Okay? And doing this is from the evil characteristics of the Jews. And keep in mind that the Prophet ﷺ has cursed the one who gives the bribes and the one who takes it. The last proof in this chapter. قال وقيل نزلت أي نعم نفس الآية آية 16 سورة النساء وقيل نزلت في رجلين اختصما فقال أحدهما نترافع إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال الآخر إلى كعب بن الأشرف ثم ارتفع ترافع إلى عمر فذكر له أحدهما القصة فقال الذي لم يرضى برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكذلك قال نعم فضربه بالسيف فقتله. The last proof that the Imam Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahu ta'ala mentioned as a proof in this chapter, he says that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he says, it is also said that the above mentioned verse in Surah An-Nisa was revealed when two men disputed over a certain issue. And one of them said, let us refer the matter to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the right way to do. But the other said, let us refer it to Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf. And Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf, he was a Jew. Yahudi Arabi min Tay, وأمه من بني النضير كان شديد العداوة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf, the other man says, no, 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 we're not going to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to settle this matter, we're going to Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf. He was a Jew, an Arab Jew from the Qabila of Tay, and his mother was from another Qabila, Bani Nadir. This man, he hated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah. Shadeed al-Adawa, not he hated him, but severely. Still this man wants to take his matter to this man who hates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So thereafter they went to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and one of them told Umar the whole story, and therefore Umar radiallahu anhu turned to the one who did not approve of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an arbitrator and asked him, is that true? The man replied, yes. Thereupon Umar struck him with his sword and killed him. المعنى الإجمالي لهذا الأثر يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله, هذا الأثر فيه بيان قول آخر غير ما سبق بسبب نزول الآية الكريمة في سورة النساء, وأن القصة لما بلغت عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه واستثبتها قتل الذي لم يرضى بحكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says this other also give us another explanation to the reasons of the revelation, sabab al-nuzul, the reason of the revelation of the same ayah in Surah An-Nisa. And that this story, when you reach Umar radiallahu anhu and ask the person who did not want to take his matters to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so when he agreed, when he says yes, that's what he did, so he struck him. He struck and killed the one who was not pleased with the judgment of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. مناسبة ذكره في الباب أن فيه دليل على كفر من احتكم إلى غير شرع الله واستحقاقه للقتل لأنه مرتد عن الإسلام. The relevance of this author, this tradition to this chapter, he said this tradition provides a proof that whoever refers a matter of dispute to any law other than that of Allah is deemed a disbeliever and must thus be killed as he becomes an apostate. The ulama, of course, this is not for anyone, just to remind you that whenever he sees someone says, let's take it, he's a kafir, let's take him somewhere and strike him. Now, this is not the case. That's for the ruler of the Muslims to bring that person in front of a judge, and they see if this person is ignorant, is he doing this for shubha and the like. And mashallah, that's another topic in itself. But what we learn is that for us to stay away from these actions, because shaitan play with us. So because we're human, sometimes we are inclined to the dunya. You love that business, you love that house. In a matter of dispute between a husband and a wife, they have five children, he wants all of them, she wants all of them. He's looking at her like she's not fit parent. She's the same thing, no, he's not fit parent. So take your matters to the deen of Allah. But sometimes a person, they're like, oh, I don't know, man, I just go to the court. Now, you don't go to the ta'ud. You don't go to man-made laws. And we have the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important because it's easy said, but when actions, that's what really matters. Now we're talking, yeah, alhamdulillah, the brothers, zahullah. And then when Allah tests us, what are we going to do? Akhi, look, let us settle this according to what Allah has legislated. I'm willing to accept, let's take it, let's go to the Imam inshallah. If he has something, alhamdulillah, if not, we can wait a couple of days until he managed to call one of the ulama, inshallah ta'ala. But you as far, don't worry what the other person do. You make sure that you're willing to accept the judgments of Allah. If the answer comes as, yes, akhi, give. This business is not, you got only like 70-10% of it. That's it. Even though your nafs was, you're the one that wants everything. You were hoping that the fatwa and the answer comes like, oh, it's all yours. No, the fatwa may come, you got nothing. So what are you going to do now? You got to be happy. Even though they tell you you got nothing, you'll be happy because you accepted the ruling of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's very important, to comply with the rule. A lot of people get themselves a lot of trouble, a lot of mess, because when the fatwa comes to them, this is based on what Allah says with the Messenger, they start playing games. Nah, you gotta be another way. What do you mean another way? There's only one way. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nah. Tayyib. ما يستفاد من الأثر أولا تحكيم غير الله تعالى أن تحكيم غير الله تعالى ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في فض المنازعات ردة على الإسلام. Number one, that applying any law other than that revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning matters not to the book of Allah and not to the messenger of Sunnah or the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to judge between all disputes is an apostasy from the deen. That's what it is. Look how dangerous it is. So we should never ever say, look man, we're going to do something that is pleasing to Allah. We have matters, disputes, let's sit down. We Muslims, alhamdulillah, we want to earn the pleasure of Allah. We want to do that which help us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Let's see what Allah will seek in the judgment of Allah in this, in His book and or in the Sunnah of His Messenger. See, that's the attitude of a believer. Not somebody sneaks. He takes the fatwa only when it's in their favor. Ah, yeah, Allah, but here's the fatwa. But when it's not in their favor, like, I don't know, bro. Who translates that? Huh? That brother, I don't trust him. He's a startup train. Man, I gotta be another way. Look, man, see you on court, brother. Check your mail, man. Yeah, I'm taking it up level. That's what I told you, that's up level. You're going down with that. Liyadu billah. Thaniyan, anna al-murtadda adin islam yuqtal. Thalithan, anna al-du'a ila tahkimi ghayri shara'illah. Thaniyan, that if someone apostate, he's to be executed. But once again, by the ruler, and it's not just a matter that anybody go kill anybody. This is the Khawarij. What's this Daesh, ISIS, and all of them are doing? No, it's not from Islam. They see someone drinking alcohol, go kill him. Someone, I don't know, doesn't comply with the deen of Allah, go kill him. No. This is for the ruler. They bring these people, they explain to them the matters, they offer for them to repent to Allah and to accept the haqq is a whole process. It's not for anyone to tamper with this. Number three, أن الدعاء إلى تحكيم غير شرع الله من صفات المنافقين ولو كان المدعو إلى تحكيمه إماما فاضلا كعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. That taking matters to be judged by other than what Allah has legislated is from the qualities of the hypocrites. Even the person that they may take in their affairs to is a noble person, like Umar al-Khattab. Someone rejects what Allah says, what the Messenger of Allah judge. Even if that person says, look, you know what? Let's go to Umar. This is a bad thing to do. Because no one detests or rejects the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and didn't try to go to somebody else. Even if that somebody else is an imam, fadil like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Rabi'an wa shuru'at al-ghadab lillahi wa rasulihi wa lidinihi. It is permissible for a person to be angry, but for a good cause. Angry for the deen of Allah, for his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-ghadab minhu ma huwa mahmud, kama yaqulu ahli al-ulama. Anger, there is a type of it that is praiseworthy. when you get angry, when you see the kufr, shirk, zulm, oppression, and you get angry for that. Now, but as for acting upon anger, that's another topic there itself. Okay? خامسا مشروعية تغيير المنكر باليد لمن يقدر على ذلك. It is permissible for those who are able to change the evil with their hands. Here, as we learned in the before, meaning those who have authority, the rulers and people that have authority, yes, they can change the evil because they are able, they have power, they have authority. Those who doesn't have authority, they can give advice with their tongue. Sometimes they cannot even give advice. Then they hate that evil with their hearts. سادسا أن معرفة الحق لا تغني عن العمل به والانقياد له. Just knowing that this is right, it's not enough. Unless and until a person comply with it. Not just knowing like we are Salafiyya, but then what? They don't act upon it. Salafi, but then he's cheating, he's lying, backbiting, fighting people, harming them in their honor, in their health, in their bodies, in their wealth. What Salafi, this person, is he benefiting? It's very important for us to understand. Knowing the haqq is one thing, but it's not enough until a person comply with it. Now people, subhanAllah, Salafi, pointing fingers to others, he's not a Salafi, he ain't not. But then they cheating. When they deal with one another, they cheat. They oppress their wives, their children. No manners, no akhlaq, no patience. Ready to fight for no reasons. Fight those who don't want to fight them. Borrow money, never pay it back. Have children neglected in I don't know what state. What Salafi is this? Now if we know the haqq, we have to act upon it to the best of our abilities, and we know that what we're doing is wrong, and we assume our responsibilities, claiming one thing but acting upon it and prove it, that's what matters the most. Now you have to know the haqq. You gotta act upon it as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq to act upon that which we know. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam 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 wa sallam